Welcome to another edition of the Australian DX Report, a weekly program of interest to shortwave listeners around the world. This is Bob Pagela bringing to you our broadcast, and I hope that you'll find information in it of value and interest to your shortwave monitoring hobby activities. These programs are sponsored by the Australian Shortwave Radio Association, which is based here in Melbourne, Victoria, and of course in Australia. I'd just like to remind you that all times we give in these programs are in UTC, also known as GMT, using the 24-hour time system, and all frequencies are in kilohertz. Starting our program this week, as usual, we have information concerning solar activity. Information is provided the compliments of the Space Weather Services of the Bureau of Meteorology from the Australian Government. Solar activity remained at very low levels with no notable solar flares. As anticipated, the earthward directed solar wind stream remained strong, showing a gradual decline. Solar wind speed decreased from around 620 kilometres per second to 440 kilometres per second. The BZ component varied mostly between plus and minus 10 during the recent period. Solar wind stream is expected to further weaken over the next 2 days, with the possibility of gaining some strength again on the third day, as the effect of another coronal hole may start from the third day. Very low levels of solar activity may be expected for the next 3 days. The 10.7 centimetre solar radio flux is down to 85, that's 85, and the daily equivalent smooth sunspot number has fallen to 27. And those figures are extremely low. This low level of solar activity means that long-haul multi-hop transmissions over darkness or semi-darkness zones remain unreliable on frequencies above about 13 megahertz. Here in Melbourne, we're moving to our spring period now, and the daylight hours are increasing. Propagation on shortwave is of course influenced by the amount of darkness or daylight on transmission paths arriving into Victoria here in southeastern Australia. I was recently out at the Warrandyte State Park in Melbourne's outer east. One of my favourite monitoring sites in the Fiddler's Gully, former gold mining reserve on Fifth Hill. Plenty of quartz rocks and tailings there. Perhaps this abundance of surface minerals in the area contributes to the good propagation in the region. As usual, our receiver was the small Eaton E5 with about 2 metres of antenna, 1 metre high, supported in a golden wattle tree. No pun intended there, of course. The wattle trees are all in full bloom around Melbourne and the hills at the moment. Very attractive, very picturesque and very scenic. There was a good array of signals in the 11 megahertz band in the afternoon period. 0500 to 0530, that's 1500 to 1530 local time here. And these included Iran, the Azeri, Turkish and Dari services, France, the Isidan relay station, used for NHK and Radio Dengue Kurdistan, Kuwait, Marshall Radio via this relay station, Theo Tome, the Voice of America, and South Africa, the BBC from the Mayotin relay station. This is the summary. 11520 WEWN in English, USA. 11580, the Overcomer Ministry from WRMI in English, USA. 11600, France, Radio Dengue Kurdistan from the Usudan relay station in Kurdish. And China, China National Radio Network 5 in Chinese on 11620 and 11935, two frequencies. Radio New Zealand International, almost a good signal here during our daytime periods on 11725. And Iran, various frequencies from the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran, 11670 in Azeri, 11925 in Turkish, and 12070 in Dari. And Albania, China Radio International from the Serik relay station on 11775 with its programming in Arabic. On the next frequency on the other side of the world, Radio National Brasilia on 11780. And 11870, the USA WEWN with Spanish programming for the Americas. And the Voice of America from the Theo Tome relay station in English on 11905. And 11945, the BBC from the Mayotin South Africa relay station with its programs in English. And 11970, NHK from the Usudan France relay station with its broadcast in Japanese for the Middle East. And 11980, the Voice of Turkey in Turkish. And 12130, right up at the top end of the 11 megahertz band, Radio Marshall from the Kuwait relay station in Pashto. So, good signals there in our afternoon periods here in Victoria, particularly here in Melbourne, on the 25 metre band, and that summary of 11 megahertz signals was made recently between 0500 and 0530. Now, some news about the BBC. According to the newspaper The Independent, published in the United Kingdom, the BBC is planning to include daily news broadcasts in North Korea for the first time under a proposed expansion of its world service. In the first of a four-part response to the government's review of the BBC's Royal Charter, Director General Lord Hall has set out his vision for the restructuring of the corporation, saying, "The BBC is a great national asset, and we're all stewards for the next generation." Included in his proposals, the BBC has said it wants to provide better coverage to countries where there is a democratic deficit, in impartial news. This is about upholding Britain's place in the world and the promotion of British values, the corporation said in a statement. The North Korean news broadcast will be provided over shortwave radio. Radios in North Korea are preset to the government-controlled frequencies and only have news from the Korean Central News Agency, with the exception of shortwave radio. Shortwave radios are banned, but owning one does not usually result in criminal charges. Instead, the sets are often confiscated and resold onto the black market by corrupt authorities. North Korea is ranked 179 out of 180 countries on the annual Press Freedom Index, published by Reporters Without Borders. The only country considered to have worse press freedom is Eritrea. The BBC's plans include establishing a new service for Ethiopia and Eritrea on medium wave and shortwave radio. They've also proposed to create either a satellite TV service for Russian speakers or to provide a bigger digital presence on RuTube, that's R-U-T-U-B-E, the Russian equivalent to YouTube. The BBC also hopes to offer more regional content to its Arabic service with increased coverage of North Africa and the Middle East. A BBC spokesman told The Independent there should no longer be any no-go countries to the world service. It's Britain's impartial voice to the world. The media is less free than it was 10 years ago in many countries that have seen big state-sponsored news organisations and digital platforms grow. The proposal would seek to reach out to these countries, creating a clarion call for accurate and impartial news that also shines a positive light on this country's place in the world, they said. They propose improvements to BBC services will need to be planned within the £750 million less budget due to the BBC paying the licence fees for over 75, that's persons over 75 years of age. About the costing, the BBC said funding for the world service will need to be discussed with the government, but the rest of the proposals will be funded within the confines of the budget agreement with the government and will not require any additional licence fee funding. The new plans will require further efficiencies and a scale back of other operations, they said. So that's some information concerning proposed changes and new services from the BBC in London, including new shortwave transmissions for listeners in North Korea. And that report was from the United Kingdom newspaper, The Independent. And that completes our roundup of shortwave news. Hope we found the program of interest and that the information we've given will be of value to you in your shortwave monitoring activities. So until our next broadcast, this is Bob Padula in Melbourne, Victoria, Australia, wishing you all good listening and good DX. See you soon.